fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and I want to continue today to talk about the miracle of Fatima and the many things that get revealed through that whole story of what God shows us about himself, about the choices he makes, about who he entrusts great responsibility to, his perception of the world. So much is revealed. And yesterday I began by talking about identity, and something is revealed in Fatima that which isn't maybe central, obviously, to the whole prophetic word that God brought to the earth through Our Lady. But so much is revealed in the main characters of the story. First, you have Our Lady, and then the three children, one 10-year-old, Lucia, and then Jacinta, and Francesco, 7, 9, and 10-year-old children who live in Portugal, basically out in the middle of nowhere. Obviously, people of no influence in society. They were illiterate children. They were good children, normal children. They loved to play, dance, sing, have fun, just like anybody else. But they were good souls. They were simple souls. And they were pure in heart. And so when God begins to do something significant in the earth, and who God draws near to, he loves the humble, the simple, the pure, the trusting, those who trust him, those who live like they're his children. Just like Mary. Mary's the central figure in the whole story. And Mary was simple, humble, beautiful, probably illiterate, at least for by the time when the angel Gabriel first came to Mary at the Annunciation. But obviously, she had no power in society, no power in culture. Maybe her family, her clan, they're probably the only people who knew anything about her at all. But when God comes to do these extraordinary, life-transforming acts, what does he do? Who does he trust? He trusts the humble. He trusts the good, the pure, the simple, and those who have fear of God. And because those who have fear of God have wisdom, and those who are simple and trusting and humble, he can entrust great things to. He can give real responsibility because he knows they're going to respond to him. And that's what the children did. They received the message of Fatima. And I just want to say a word about identity before I actually get into the story of Fatima and the secrets and the important things that were revealed then and I think are still very applicable today. John Paul II said at World Youth Day in 2002, he said, "We're not the sum of our weaknesses and failures. We're the sum of the Father's love for us and our capacity to become the image of his Son." It's a beautiful, simple truth that he's revealing here. I mean, at first, he's addressing something that we can often get caught up in, that we're preoccupied with our weaknesses and our failures. And the enemy can drive us into the ground, and before you know it, we're looking at ourselves negatively in a way that we can be just filled with regret, shame, anger, bitterness, all kinds of things that begin to characterize us because we're relating to our weaknesses and our failures. That's one fundamental temptation. He's addressing it here to young people who in particular can be trapped in that, but certainly all of you listening, we can all be susceptible to that and see ourselves through the optic of our failures instead of seeing ourselves fundamentally as children of God. And what he wanted us to understand is we're the sum of the Father's love for us. So here's where it all begins. The story of Fatima is really about the love of God the Father for his children. His children running wild in the world, running amok, and as Mary would say, profoundly offending God their Father, trapped and seduced by the enemy, trapped in habit patterns of sin that end up leading ultimately to destruction, because that's what the devil's after. The devil's after destroying the image of God in man. The devil's after destroying any kind of confidence and clarity about who we actually are. He wants to keep us blinded so we can't see that we're born in the image and likeness of God and that what's valuable about us is what God himself has given us. Fundamentally, we're valuable and of great dignity because God made us. And he's not a distant God one who winds the clock in heaven and just lets it go. He's not an impersonal force. Jesus came specifically to reveal God as a Father. It can be difficult for lots of people. The idea of God as our Father can be like an abstraction. It doesn't move them. Many times because people have very difficult relationships with their own fathers. And an intimate connection of security and identity and love and trust didn't happen in that situation. So it's very hard to see God in that light. Some people say that's partly why God chose to send Our Lady, because it's much easier for everybody in the world, just about, to understand the love of a mother. I have to laugh. I was sharing with some friends the other day, just thinking about professional athletes, especially football players. How often do you see football players, these big, tough, physical guys who seem fearless and strong, and who seems to be the most impactful person in their life is their mother. They always want to say hi to their mother. And they talk about their mother. And a lot of these guys, they have tremendous respect for their mother. They both know the love and tenderness of their mother. And a lot of these guys have a certain kind of healthy fear of their mother's authority. It's interesting to see. But everybody understands the love of a mother. And I think that's partly why Jesus sends Mary on mission, to communicate that concrete love and trust. And mothers are so selfless, they don't provoke a response of competitiveness from somebody, right? You kind of want to lean into your mother. Mothers nurture, and they're warm, and they're loving, and they're for you, and they're in your corner. They're not battling against you. You know, men can be tougher, and dads can be a little stronger, and that's how God made them, a different kind of strength, let me put it that way, express themselves in a different way. But essentially what Pope John Paul II is saying here is that we are the sum of God's love for us and our capacity to become the image of His Son. Jesus' fundamental identity is Son of God. That's the most glorious title He has among all the titles that belong to Christ. From the Lord's point of view, the central thing in His life and the most important thing, and He revealed it so clearly to us on earth, is the Father, is His relationship with His loving Father. And the whole work of salvation is Jesus' work under the command of the Father to make it possible for you and me, who have been made in the image of God, been made by God and for God, but have fallen and live in a fallen world and are battling against the principalities and powers of this world, are trapped in habit patterns of sin and a darkened mind that we can't see ourselves. And instead of seeing God with that kind of trust and absolute surrender, we get seduced into believing that God's an obstacle to our happiness and that God's an adversary, or God's impersonal and distant. And what the Holy Father's underlining is we have been given a capacity now by the work of Jesus Christ, who became one of us, to make it possible for each one of us to become children of God. And that's the Father's love, right? See what love the Father has given to us, that we've become children of God. For God so loved the world, He gave His only Son for that reason. And so love has been given to us. And God wants us to know that love, to be secure in that love, and to find our identity right there. I know in my own life, over the last number of months, a few times, waking up in the middle of the night and kind of battling with some things inside myself, just experiencing, as I begin to pray, I experience the Lord helping me see myself as He wants me to be seen, that is, as He wants me to see myself, as a beloved Son of God. I mean, it's something that I think our whole life we're going to learn. God's going to take it ever deeper. And before Jesus brings us into the presence of the Father, He's going to complete the work He's begun in us. And that work is to mold us into children of God, characterized by humility, trust, obedience, surrender, confidence in God, dialed into Him. And so we're in this ferocious battle, really throughout human history, but I think it's reaching a kind of peak right now, as so many in the world, the powerful in the world, try to carve out an existence with no reference to God and to pretend that we can just shape our identity any way we want to, and we can ignore God's creation the way God has created us, and all our sophistication and all our pride and hubris and all that's there, our technology and our accumulation of knowledge, we're putting our trust there. We're putting our trust in the work of our own hands. We're not putting our trust in God. And that's always an act of foolishness. At its root, it's an act of pride. It's an act of rebellion, whether people see it that clearly or not. That's fundamentally what it is. It's wanting to build a world and an existence apart from God. We want to be our own self-creators. We want to shape our own identity. We want to define for ourselves, as the great wise Supreme Court in the United States said, our own definition of human existence, our own understanding of the meaning of human existence. Everybody's got the right to create their own meaning. Well, it sounds nice on the surface, but it's foolish. No human being made himself or herself. We're not the source of our own existence. Humanity, creation, the earth, it's not our idea. We're born into this. And humanity's rejecting the revelation of God and the clear understanding throughout the West in particular that really this is God's creation and we come from Him. We have dignity that every society must recognize precisely because we're made in the image of God, not because some political order gives me or imparts dignity to me. It's something that I begin with. It's made in the image and likeness of God. And here, John Paul takes it to its height, and that is that we are born again and we're given a share in the identity of the beloved Son, that is Jesus Christ, God's beloved Son. Because you've been baptized into Christ, you are the beloved. You share in Jesus' relationship with the Father. And this is the fundamental source of all identity. It's the only identity, friends, that is absolutely unchanging, goes right to the core of your being, doesn't rest on your self-creative powers or the constantly changing identities that the world serves up. It's the only thing that will fill the human heart. Nothing else will do it. Why? Because we're made again for God, by God. Remember, identity is not a product of our self-creation. It's not something we generate. Again, it's not something we achieve, but it's something we receive. And you might say it's tied to, this is getting a little philosophical maybe, but being precedes our doing. We often want to define who we are by what we do. Who am I? I'm a lawyer, I'm a doctor, I'm an athlete, I'm an all-pro this, I'm whatever. But our fundamental identity is not defined by what we do, our successes or our failures. But our fundamental identity is something that God, who is the source of our being and our existence, we're His idea. Human beings are His idea. You specifically are His idea. He made you because He loved you into existence through His creative power. He's spoken a word through His Son, and you came to be. You're God's creation. That is the source of your dignity. That's the source of your identity. And it'll ultimately be the doorway to your destiny, your purpose as well. So what the devil doesn't want you to do, he doesn't want you to see it. Jesus comes to the earth to reveal to us who we are. What does it mean to be a son, a child of God? What does it mean to live a life that's going to reach its ultimate fulfillment? Where does a human being find their identity, their ultimate purpose, their value, and their destiny? It's given to us by God. And Jesus offers us the power to become children of God. Friend, live there. Stay there. Embrace it. Receive it. Ask the Holy Spirit to show you the value of it. There you will find security, peace, identity. God bless you. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Light in the Darkness. We're living in difficult, unsettling, and even dark times. We're engaged in a spiritual battle that is intensifying. I wrote this short booklet to help you understand the nature of the battle we're facing and help you lay hold of God's abundant grace for you in these challenging times. If you'd like a free copy of my new booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789, or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.